That we stand upon what never changes. And God said He's the same today, He's the same yesterday, and He'll be the same forever. I'm glad we have a God that doesn't change. That means our salvation doesn't change. You saved? You're saved. Amen? Yeah, I praise the Lord for that. Ladies, thank you. I just asked them this morning if they'd fill in, and they did, and I appreciate that very much. Thank you for coming out. And as Pastor always says, we commend you for coming out on a rainy day and do appreciate it. And I want to be respectful of God's timing here. And what we have in front of us is the Word of God. It's a powerful book. And so we're going to look at it this morning. Genesis chapter 9. And there's a lot I could say to get this sermon started. And I always start off by reading the Scripture. But I want to say that we're going to talk about the true meaning of the rainbow this morning. Now, some of you know that in our society today, there's a lot of wrong uses of the rainbow. And by the way, every time God has something, the devil has to have the same thing and just let it mean something different. And so today we're gonna cover the true meaning of the rainbow. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 8. It says, "And God spake unto Noah and his sons with him, saying," I want you to notice, he says in verse 9, "And I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out and of the ark, to every beast of the earth." And verse 11 says, "And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a token of the covenant which I have made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." And verse 13 tells us about the rainbow, and it calls it a bow. It says, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all the flesh." Verse 16 says, "And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." Verse 17 will end. "And when God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." I'll pray real quick, and then we'll talk about the true meaning of the rainbow. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. And God, thank you for loving us despite us. And Father, today you knew that I would be up here preaching, and so, Father, I know that you've given me a message that you would have your people to hear this morning. And God, I realize that I could get in the way very quickly, and so, Lord, would you remove me and my flesh from this sermon? And God, that through your Holy Spirit, may you use me as just an instrument, a vessel today, that I may portray your word and I may proclaim your word. And Father, I pray that as I yield myself to you, that God, each and every person here this morning would have opening ears to hear and an open heart to receive your word. And Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray, God, that they would get saved today. I pray that you would change their life. God, help us to get the true meaning of this rainbow. And God, thank you for it. And we praise you for it. I ask you to bless this message now in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, Noah spent 120 years preparing an ark for him and his family. 8 souls altogether, and then all the animals of the kingdom made up there on this ark. And then he spent another 300 and possibly 71 days on that ark. Now, who wants to volunteer to be with your family and all the animals for 371 days? I don't know about you, but that would have been a trip of a lifetime. And when you got off, you know, there, by the way, when they got off, there was a bunch of dead animals and dead people all over the place, I'm sure. When Noah got off, I'm sure the stench of that didn't bother him, because he'd been with the stench for 371 days. And so God's wrath was poured upon. By the way, this was a worldwide flood. This was not a localized flood. God was pronouncing judgment upon the whole world. And we see that in the end, God's going to pronounce judgment upon the whole world again. And this time, not by water, but by fire. He will try by fire. We see that God's wrath. Now, go back to chapter 6. I want you to notice why God did this. A lot of people say, I just don't understand why God did this. By the way, God gave them 120 years of righteous preaching to get right. It ain't like Noah went outside one day and there was an ark. And it was 120 years in the making, 120 years of God's grace and God's mercy and God waiting and being long-suffering to men. Now here's why God pronounced judgment upon them. Notice, if you will, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil," what? Continually. We pretty close there. Right? Sorry, I'm from Alabama. I said there. I meant there. Right? We're pretty close there. There. I don't know if I'd say it right. But here's the thing, is that their thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. In other words, it was something that was a continual thing. By the way, we are sinners, but we are not to continue in sin. Matter of fact, Paul said, "Shall we continue in sin therein?" And he said, "God forbid." And so we look and we see that it was evil continually. Now notice verse 6, it says, "And it repented the Lord." In other words, he was sorry that he made man. Notice what he says, "And it made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Verse 7 says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created." By the way, notice what he said, "whom I created." By the way, if you make it, you can tear it down. If you're an evolutionist, you don't believe God should touch you. Why? Because God didn't make you, if that's what you believe. Right? And that's why most people that are evolutionists are so self-absorbed with themselves. They don't need God. But God created us. By the way, God created the heaven and the earth. And you and everything you see. You say, "Well, I don't believe that." I don't care. He still made it. Amen. Amen. We could take Bob Ross's painting and put it up here. And you say, "Well, I don't believe he painted it." But I can say, "Yep, he did. I got video of him just going a little dabble here. Just brush it up. Just brush." We watch Bob Ross all the time. Sorry, we're real bored people. Verse 7 says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." God said, "I saw their heart. I saw that it was only evil continually." He said, "Because of that, it sorrowed me." By the way, as a parent, if your child was continuing in sin, wouldn't it hurt your heart? Well, we're His children. We're His creation. Now, I want you to notice verse 8, though. I love buts in the Bible. He says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." I'm glad somebody found grace. Because if it wasn't, we wouldn't be here today. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And so God allows Noah, through Noah believing God, through Noah trusting God, through Noah, that He would allow him to save an entire species of people. That's why we're here this morning. But here's what happens, is that Noah gets 120 years preparing this ark, he and his sons. They get on the ark, and for around 300, some people say 370 days, 371 days, whatever you believe, they were on there about a year. Before the waters actually dried up enough where they got out of the ark, and they got out of the ark, and this is where our story begins. God told them when they got out of the ark, He said, "Now I need you to be fruitful and multiply. I want you to inhabit this earth. I want the good seed to be prolonged. I want the good seed, the righteous seed, I want it to multiply." And so they begin to do that. But God reminds him in verses 8 through verses 17 of something very important. He reminds him of a covenant through something that appears in the clouds. So what is the true meaning of a rainbow? Well, I'll give you four things this morning. Number one, the rainbow's purpose. The rainbow's purpose is to not accept people's sin. Amen. The rainbow's purpose is not to... By the way, we use it today. I looked it up earlier, and I'm sorry that I ever did. Some things you just don't Google because you don't like what you're going to read. Why the homosexual crowd of today uses the rainbow flag? They said that the main reason is that it stands for diversity and peace. But yet they're the most hateful people. Ain't that something? They want peace, but they're going to throw a rock through your window if you don't stand with them. Amen. Don't be afraid to say amen. It'll be all right. You say, well, they're come take our church away. We'll give them the bills. They ain't have it. They can't afford it. But here's the thing, is that what they don't realize, what they hold in their hand, is something that God, that the purpose of it was to show forth God's grace to man. And by the way, God loves them. Doesn't love their sin, just like He doesn't like our sin and love our sin, but He loves them. By the way, we're not to be hateful to anybody just because we don't agree with their lifestyle and just because of that. By the way, there's not just the sin of homosexuality. There's a lot of more sexual sins out there than just that. We can pick on them, but we got to pick on people that live together. Amen? Ooh, I'm not the pastor here. He will be back next week. So for some of you visitors, please come back and you'll hear a lot better preaching, all right? I'm just here to make Pastor look good. So I preach. Amen? The rainbow's purpose today, the devil has taken a symbol of grace and a symbol of peace and a symbol that God's wrath has passed, and we've used it for another reason. But I want to tell you, just because somebody who's sinful holds something of God in the hand doesn't change the meaning of it. Holding the Word of God in unrighteousness doesn't change the Word of God. It changes maybe what people hear and the perspective of it, but here's the thing, is that God's Word's never changing. God's Word's always the same. And when Noah got out of that ark, Noah had already found grace in the eyes of the Lord before he got in the ark. Amen. Before you get saved and you get placed in Christ, you found grace before you got in there. It's just grace that keeps us through many toils. And grace has kept us there. I can't even think of the song now. We just sung Amazing Grace. God's grace takes us through those things. The rainbow's purpose was to portray Christ Jesus in the eyes of Noah, saying that God's grace prevailed. By the way, it wasn't Noah and Noah's craftsmanship that got him through the flood. He'd never built an ark. He didn't go to Google and say, how to build an ark. And there was a YouTube video that popped up that said, how to build an ark. Noah said, boys, we got this. Ham, come here, we got this. Japheth, come here, we got it. There was no plans. It was just God telling him and Noah believing what God said. If you read the story when Noah was building the ark, and it says that God told him to do this, and it says, and Noah did it. And Noah believed God. Noah did it. He just believed God. And when he got in that ark and he had placed his family, by the way, I've built a lot of things in my life. I would not put my family in them. Somebody say amen right there. My statement is, let me try it out first. Right? If Michael Wiggins was to build a boat, I would not place Bailey and Shelby and Brody and Donya in there. I would call Brother Tramar and say, Brother Tramar, I got a job for you. Amen. I wouldn't place my family in there. I wouldn't do it even Brother Tramar. But there's been a lot of times, my wife can tell you, I had a boat one time. It was a little questionable. It was given to me through family that passed away. And so it had, you know, had a few issues. And first time I went out on it, I didn't take my family on it. Why? Because I didn't trust it. Hello? When Noah put his family in that ark, he was testifying to God, God, I trust you. And I'm not trusting in my craftsmanship. Hello? By the way, he was not floating upon the waters in the beginning. The waters were coming down upon him massively. And the waters of the deep then broke up. By the way, it's one thing if you can just get something to float. But you got to get something that don't receive water. We can't even build an auditorium without it leaking. That's why there's a bucket in the back. Amen? We had a professional roofing company build the roof. It's leaked since day one. Amen. Everybody's looking at us saying, oh, there is. Nobody knew it until I just mentioned it. We figured out how to fix it, though. It's called a Home Depot bucket. But Noah was showing that he trusted the Lord when he put his family inside that ark. When he put his life into that ark, he said, "Lord, I'm trusting you." He didn't realize what he was testifying to of the world. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that he was a preacher of righteousness because he believed God. He was trusting in the grace of God. By the way, when you think about the purpose, rainbow's purpose, it wasn't as if Noah asked for the rainbow. God just gave it to him. By the way, you don't ask for God's grace. I mean, necessarily before you're saved, you don't ask. God gives it you. And that's why it's grace, right? God gives it to us unmerited. He gives it to us because why? Because He loves us. Number two, we see the rainbow's path. The rainbow's path. Now, if you look at a rainbow today, and I've saw many of them, and so have you, the thing is that it connects heaven with earth. Jesus Christ did that very same thing. When Noah looked at that rainbow that was in the sky, he saw it coming from the sky to the earth, showing that there's one mediator between man, and that is the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy tells us. There's one who can span the heaven all the way to the earth, and it was Jesus Christ. When Christ was on the cross of Calvary, He was spanning from heaven, from God to man, and from man back to God. He is the one who stands between us and God and pleads our case. The rainbow shows us a picture of God's grace. It also shows us that He spans from the heaven to the earth. By the way, I'm glad Jesus arose. Because when He arose, He took our hand and joined it to the hand of God. That's why I believe in the resurrection. See, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And you always hear, that's why they were sad, you see. Amen? And I believe in the resurrection because I believe that Christ on the third day, He arose. He arose, and by the way, He arose taking our hand to God's hand and God's hand to our hand and joined us together. The rainbow is a picture of God's grace, that Jesus Christ Himself joins heaven and earth. Number three, the rainbow's promise. If you go back to our scripture, you'll notice seven times. By the way, I don't like to play with numbers, but seven is the number of completion. But seven times you'll find the word covenant in this chapter. Seven times God reminds Noah, this is a covenant. Noah, this is a covenant. By the way, He reminds Himself that it's even a covenant. He says, when I see the rainbow, I'm going to remember my covenant too. And so we see the word covenant in this chapter seven times, and it is telling Noah that this one thing. I like this. Noah, it's over. My wrath has passed. Noah, I'm done. Noah, you're all right now. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he kept finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. By the way, if you're saved this morning, you ought to be very thankful for grace. I know Brother Stewart preached a whole thing on grace, but we ought to be so thankful for grace, because grace is just not there to save us. It's there to keep us saved and to keep us working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is so much more than we think it is. Sometimes we think, well, it's just by the grace of God we did that. But it's by the grace of God we do anything. You know? We always use that statement, you know, when a car comes whizzing by you and crashes into another one and misses you, you go, well, it's just by the grace of God I didn't get in a wreck. That's just by the grace of God you can drive. Amen. It's by the grace of God any of us make it home. There's so many people on Facebook driving. I tell my wife that all the time. I say, people aren't drinking and driving anymore. They're texting and driving and Facebooking and driving. You pull up at a red light and everybody's like, whew, I almost missed that. I mean, it's by the grace of God we can leave the church and make it home alive. Amen. Steering wheel and two thumbs is all I need. God help us in today's society. By the way, it's by the grace of God we got up this morning, was able to walk. It's by the grace of God that we can see through our eyes and speak through our mouth and hear through our ears. It's by the grace of God we're breathing. Amen. It's by the grace of God we're able to serve Him. It's by the grace of God our children are who they are. It's by the grace of God our marriages don't fall apart every day. I said every day. By the grace of God that we can do anything for Him. Rainbow's promise was not only to man, but look back, if you will, in verse 16. Well, notice verse 14 also. Start at verse 14. It says, "It come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." Verse 15 says, "And I will remember my covenant." See what he just said? He said, now, Noah, previously he said, "Noah, this is a sign for you, that I'll remember, that you'll remember my covenant I'm making with you today." But now God is saying, when I see the cloud, when I see the rainbow, I'm going to be reminded of the covenant I made with you. And notice what he says, "I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall not no more flood there." He said, verse 16, "And the bow shall be in the clouds, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." See, when we see the rainbow, we're reminded of God's grace. We're reminded that God, hey, he took care of Noah. We're reminded that a rainbow's up there because of God's grace. But also, when God sees the rainbow, when God, by the way, his perspective's different of it than ours, isn't it? And when he sees it, he's reminded of the covenant that he made with us. By the way, every time, what does it take to make a rainbow? Anybody know? It takes a storm. And the post part of that storm is what? It produces a rainbow when the light shines through the misting of water vapor. I studied that. Thank God for answers in Genesis. They told me. But here's the thing, is that there's a storm, and then we're reminded of God's grace. By the way, isn't that our life? We go through storms, and why do we go through storms? Because we'd be reminded of God's grace. By the way, wouldn't we be spoiled little children if we never had to go through a storm? It's kind of like, I know none of y'all have ever met these kids before, but there are kids in this world who have never had to work for nothing. I'm waiting for people to go. People who have just always been handed stuff, guess what? There's no appreciation for what they have. Some of you are in here, you had to work for it. You had to wash it. You had to clean it. You had to fix it, repair it. Even though you may not have cherished it as much as you should, you still had an appreciation for that product, right? Anybody like that? Hello? I was like that. My parents didn't hand things to me a lot of times. I'm thankful for the things they did hand to me. But vehicles and stuff, I love that. Hey, here you go. Here's your vehicle. Oh, great. You're like, man, this is great. This is freebie. I got one freebie in my life. But I didn't realize vehicles are expensive to keep up. I started appreciating it a lot more because I had to put that time and effort into it. By the way, in our life, When we don't go through storms, we don't appreciate the grace of God like we should. Let me give you the last thing. You say, what are we going to do with the rest of the time? We're going to pray. Have an invitation. We're going to go home. Number four, the rainbow's perfection. This is where I want to get to. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Woo, this is shouting ground right here. Y'all just pretend for a minute y'all are excited. Just pretend for just 5 minutes that this is good preaching. Revelation chapter 4, verse 3, tells us something pretty amazing. By the way, the book of Revelation in chapter 21 and 22, if you're in my class, we've been studying that, talks about heaven. There's some things in heaven that's amazing. By the way, when the New Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven, it has 12 foundations, it has 12 stones that make up those foundations. And those 12 stones, for people that have studied this, you'll realize that those 12 stones are different colored stones of the rainbow. And it said that when Christ, who is the light up there, we will not have no need of light. Hello, hallelujah. Because why? Jesus will be that light that will reflect off of those stones. And guess what it's going to create? Da-da-da-da. A color of perfection. Well, before then, John gets a vision of Jesus Christ sitting on his throne in Revelation chapter 4. Here's what it says. Look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. Notice this. Woo, going to get excited right now. Verse 3 says, "And he that sat upon it looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone." Now notice what it says. "And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto emerald." By the way, study out those emeralds and the jasper and the sardine. That's the stones that are in the New Jerusalem. This same description is found in the book of Revelation, verse chapter chapter 21. But notice what he says. He says, and there was a rainbow around about the throne. Now, here's the thing that we see in our world today. We're talking about the rainbow's perfection. In today's society, we only see half of it. Hello? There's nobody in this room that's ever seen a completed rainbow. Why, yeah, I seen one. You get a little closer. You don't see it. You say, I seen one touch the ground. No, you didn't. You thought you did. You ever done that? Man, there's the end. You get a little closer, you're like, well, no, that ain't it. You get a little closer, you're like, no, that ain't it. You know, it just keeps moving, doesn't it? You don't see the completedness. We only see half. We look through that. Still today, we don't understand what all God has prepared for us. But when we enter into heaven, we'll see a completed rainbow. Why? Because grace is completed. It's done. Hello? Why? Because when you see Christ, you see the completeness of grace. Because He is the embodiment of grace. Grace is completed. There's no more. By the way, we should see that this rainbow is around about the throne. It's the completion one day. And here's what it's going to say to us. Now, if you wasn't Baptist, you'd be shouting right now. It's over. My wrath has passed. You know why I'm a premillennial, pre-trib guy? It's because I believe judgment comes after the rapture. And I believe that God is going to spare us from judgment. Why? Because we were already judged at Calvary. And when I place my trust in Christ, He took all the wrath of God for me, and I don't have to spend one moment in there. And you that don't believe in that, you better be glad I'm not God, because I'd make you go through the tribulation just for the spite. Amen. But I'm not God. And hallelujah. I don't care if you're post-millennial, mid, whatever you are. You're going to be taken out at the rapture if you're saved today. And you're going to be glad you did. The tribulation period is not going to be a time when you're going to go, ooh, I just want to see everything happen. All them weird creatures, no, you don't want to see it. One little sting by them little scorpion, little looking fellers. You'll be going, Lord, take me out of here. Amen. See, one day when we get to heaven and Jesus is seated on His throne, and that rainbow's around about that throne, we're going to understand the completion of God's grace. And God's saying, it's over. No more wrath. By the way, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How many believe that? And the Bible says that we shall forever be with the Lord, right? So that means once I die, I'm never leaving the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah for that. That means I'll never spend one second in hell, not one moment in hell, not one day in hell, not one year in hell. I'm safe and I'm saved. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, only a half of a rainbow is all you get. I'm going to give you this and I'm almost done. The only 8 people that ever saw the rainbow in Noah's day were those who were in the ark. The other people of the world didn't get to see it. Why? Because they were judged in wrath. If you're here this morning, you're lost, you'll never see that completed rainbow. You'll never see the completion of God's grace in Jesus Christ and the embodiment of Christ. You got to be in Christ. You got to be in the ark. You say, well, I think there's another way. You know what? There were people during Noah's day that thought there was another way too. How'd that work out for them? Hello? I'm sure there was people standing outside the ark going, Noah, Noah, really, seriously. And Noah probably, I'm sure he talked about eternity to him because it says he was a preacher righteous, and he probably said, hey, if you don't get in this boat, you're gonna die. You're gonna face the wrath of God. And they're going, well, if it happens, we're just gonna have a good time. Man, when the wrath of God comes, you know, you ever heard people talk about going to hell and having a good time? Yeah, there's nobody left from Noah's flood to be able to tell us how that worked out for him. Hello? When God's wrath comes down upon this earth again, it's not going to be by water. It's going to be by fire. You say, well, I'm a firefighter. God's not going to let you wear your suit. He's going to judge you according to fire this time, Timothy tells us. You say, who can withstand the hand of God? No one can, the psalmist said. Listen to me this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you need to get in the ark. You say, well, where's the ark at? Is it the church? Nope, this church leaks. Can't be it. Can't be it. Me and Brother Chad can walk you around this building. We can tell you where every leak is in this building. Pastor is here. He could do the same thing because we know where they're at. This building's not watertight. So this sanctuary cannot be the ark. Amen. So what is the ark? Well, you got to get in something that's safe and secure. The Bible says that we're to be in Christ. And Christ is in us. We're immersed in Christ. We are in Christ at the moment of salvation. The Bible says shall be born again. Born again into what? To a new family. You got to be born again. You got to come out from the world and be born again. You got to be made new. How you do that? It's through Jesus Christ. How did Noah get an ark? Noah's out there going, I don't think that's how it worked, right? I believe Noah believed God. You say, how do you know that? Because the book of Hebrews tells us that Noah believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, just like Abraham. That he believed God and he believed God. And by the way, the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? After you're saved, you're to work. You don't work before it, and you don't work for it. You work after it. After Noah believed God, guess what he did? He worked. Hello? Proof that Noah was saved was that he did what God told him to do. I don't understand people get saved and go, man, I'm done. That's not salvation I got. Noah believed God. And Noah, it was counted unto him righteous. What do you got to do today to get in the ark? In Jesus Christ, you got to believe God. What did God say? Well, God said this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. By me is what Jesus said. You got to believe that. You got to believe that Jesus died on the cross in your place. You got to believe that He was buried and that He rose again on the third day. Why? Because He loved you. Because He died for you. And when you are saved, you are placed in Christ. And the Bible says that no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. The Bible says you're sealed until the day of redemption. Aren't you glad for that? Today, when you see a rainbow, it may not necessarily be for a godly reason. But we ought to be reminded that probably here in a little while, there's going to be a rainbow somewhere in this world. Because the storm has passed. Listen to me this morning. I'm done. It's that one day when we go to glory, God's going to remind us from the throne of God, wrath is past. But the problem's going to be is that not all of us that are in this auditorium are going to be there. Statistically speaking, it's probably not going to be 100% of us that are in here today that's going to ever see that completed rainbow. All you see today is just the half. You see just the half of what God has that He's willing to give you, that He's willing to do for you this morning. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This morning, the rainbow's for you. The rainbow is for you. When you see that rainbow in the cloud, when you see after that storm has passed and that rainbow appears, God did that for you to remind you that I have having grace upon you. I'm being long-suffering to you. By the way, aren't you glad God just didn't wipe out the world the first time? That He's being long-suffering and patient so people, what, can come to Christ and get saved. You say, that salvation thing just, it confuses me. You know why it confuses you? It's because there's so many different versions and different methods and different ideology about salvation. It's very simple if you just read the Word of God. Now, if you listen to man, I guarantee you can go home today. I don't suggest you do it. And turn on TBN and you flip through there for about an hour. You'll hear seven different ways to get to heaven. But what saith the Lord? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, is that it? It's what Scripture says. You believe that you're a sinner? I believe that. I still know that. Even though I'm saved, I'm still a sinner. But I believe that I'm a sinner. And I believe, listen, we're all sinners. We're born sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. But God commendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave us grace. God gave us mercy, even though we did not know what God was doing for us at that time. Then the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm very thankful for that verse. Because that whosoever means whosoever. You say, I just don't understand that. He's talking to you. You are a whosoever. God's grace doesn't pick and choose. God's grace invites all. Hello? And God's willing to accept you, but you got to come the right way. You say, well, what if I don't accept Him? You're not in the ark. God's wrath come down. You die. It's that simple. Why not today you just say, I surrender all. And Lord, I want to be saved today. We got people down here with Bibles that'll show you through the Word of God how to be saved this morning. This is. I'm telling you, you look out at our world today, and I'll tell you one thing. I believe Christ is coming back soon. And when Christ comes back, He's going to begin to unleash it for 7 years. He's going to just kind of like how you turn that faucet on. He's going to begin just to turn that faucet on of His wrath and begin to pour out His wrath for 7 years. And it's going to get harder and harder and harder. And then one day, the wrath of God's going to be completed. It's going to be done. We're going to be in heaven. And those who did not receive Jesus Christ will be in a lake of fire. You say, I don't like preaching like that. I don't either. I don't like the lake of fire. I don't like hell. But it's there because of why? Man's sin. But heaven's there because that's our reward. Christ is our great reward, but also Christ has gone to prepare us a place. He said, if I go to prepare us a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let's stand this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. And God, my greatest desire this morning, God, would be that you, through the Holy Spirit, would move through this auditorium. And Lord, save souls. It's been so long since I saw somebody at this altar, God, pouring their heart out to you and getting saved. Father, we got people here with Bibles that are standing ready to show somebody how to be saved this morning. God, give them the courage to step out when the music begins here in a moment. Lord, let them know, God, we're not here to embarrass them. And Lord, we're not going to point them out. But God, we're going to deal with their sin issue through the Word of God. Father, I pray that you would just prick their hearts and convict them today and let them know that there is a refuge in Christ. There's a place of salvation in Christ. Father, thank you for the symbol of grace through the rainbow. And through that rainbow, God, we see a covenant that you made. And Lord, a promise that you made. And Father, we know that one day we'll see a completed rainbow and Lord, the glory by and by. Father, help us as Christians this morning to realize your grace. And Lord, it will take us through those storms of life. And it will, Lord, take us through those valleys that we go through. And Lord, we may not see the rainbow. We may not necessarily see your grace during those times. But God, we know that once we come out of those, Lord, we'll see how good you really have been to us. God, if there's somebody here today going through a storm, going through a valley, I pray that you'd comfort them and give them grace beyond measure. Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for your care for us. Lord, please, this morning, bless this invitation. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.